So this is a slideshow which should continue and see Baden and Bavaria and other things like that, but it doesn't work at the moment. Maybe we have to wait a second. But if anybody is able to bring it on, so... Okay, establishing gendarmeries in southern German states of Bavaria, Baden and Württemberg in the period between 1750 and 1850 was part of a political strategy to modernize states and societies by enhancing the legal capacities of these new central administrations. Like blueprints for new powerful state governance, French models of government had a significant impact on southern Germany, especially at the beginning of the 19th century. Enlightened kings, grand dukes, as well as their ministers, were eager to reform and centralize their governance. After Napoleon's reorganization of the Rhineland in 1803, the three southern German states had been considerably enlarged. A consequent policy of nation building or state forming targeted at the integration of new populations with different religious affiliations and social structures in order to create new and coherent political identities. At the same time, police tasks had become more and more urgent, while existing police forces were no longer able to cope with them. The main police purpose was to control the growing underclass and to arrest beggars and vagrants. This task had been defined in legal catalogues at least since the 16th century, but the states of that early time had no professional police body for executing it. Instead, every subject of the state could be drafted for patrol services together with regular soldiers. Not until its late phase from the 1750s on, the absolutist state began to fulfill the traditional police tasks by professional government bodies and the deployment of hussars in rural areas. Hussar corps were militarily organized and instructed similar to the later gendarmes. They served permanently and independently from civil state authorities and fought against vagrants and professional criminals on the countryside in a, I quote, small war, and the term guerrilla emerged up later. Hussar police was to overcome the ancient Hatschier, a German expression, Hatschier system, which was based upon civil police servants who were subordinated to local office men. Hussar police ended in the first decades of the 19th century in southern Germany after state and societal reforms accompanied by the introduction of gendarmeries. In the Napoleonic era, southern Germany was challenged by a new and effective police administration in French territories, which forced beggars, vagrants, and criminals to leave France and to move to the right bank of the River Rhine. As a result, the Grand Duchy of Baden created in 1812 a new police force with some 200 men, quote, in the style of a gendarmerie, which was also in charge of supervising customs and taxation. These former gendarmes were not subject to military organization, but governed by two civilian ministries, the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of the Interior. In 1826, fiscal duties were separate from a more clearly defined policing agenda, but organization and instruction remained unclear until the Gendarmerie Edict of 1829. At that time, the government of Baden had been finally convinced that neighboring states could cope much better with the problem of vagrancy by effective and modern gendarmeries pushing their criminals into Baden, and Baden had no means to push them back. Pushing against each other was very familiar at the time. The final Gendarmerie Corps of 1829 was one of the last new police bodies to be installed in Germany, and its governance was based on the specific experiences made by the neighboring states, especially by France. Maintaining public safety and order was its main purpose. Every citizen, inhabitant, and even foreigner was subject to the Gendarmerie. The Gendarmerie was organized and administered by the War Ministry, but the Ministry of the Interior cared for its operations and police services. gendarmes were not subordinated to other civil authorities or local office men. Of course, in special cases of formal requirement, they had to obey to the orders of administrative bodies, but their regular and main task was patrol service in special districts to maintain public safety and order. This was a challenging task. Gendarmes in Baden had to patrol for 4 days and one night every week. One day was designed for protocoling and writing, and just one day was off duty. A single patrol had to last at least 3 hours, but the whole patrol district could only be covered by an 8 to 11 hours walk. In the beginning of the 19th century, also Württemberg, at least Württemberg, was very eager to reform its police. A Landreuter Corps of 200 mounted men was established in 1807, followed by a Landdragoner Corps of 320 men in 1809. Dragoons were already in charge of regular patrol service, and they had their patrol journals to be signed by local civil officials, even in the middle of the night. After many complaints about the Dragoons' lack of education and bad behavior, a strictly military-organized Gendarmerie Corps was founded in 1811. Two-thirds of all Landdragoner were then dismissed as unsuitable and replaced by soldiers with good conduct records and at least the ability to read. After the end of Napoleon's reign, French expressions became unpopular, so that in 1816, the War Ministry of Württemberg forced the renaming of the Gendarmerie by a proper German expression. In 1823, the name was Germanized into the Landjäger Corps, a police body which was also much more civilianized than the former Gendarmerie. The basic principle was implemented by the liberals in the Württemberg Parliament already 2 years earlier. All costs for the new police force had to be paid by the central state, while the latter had to respect the police autonomy of the communes. Police reforms in Bavaria evolved more consequently than in Baden and Württemberg due to the consequent administrative restructuring by the enlightened minister Maximilian of Montgelas. The Bavarian constitution of 1808 introduced a centralized system of government, including the creation of a gendarmerie. After discussions in the government on the governance of the new police force, the Gendarmerie Edict of 1812 foresaw a force of some 350 mounted and 1,300 dismounted gendarmes. All of them were to be recruited from the army in times of war, and this was a problem. A simple gendarme had to be between 25 and 50 years of age. This was quite liberal. Other states say 36 is the utmost age you could have as a gendarme. And you had at least 4 years of military service. The problem of initial recruiting was that during the Napoleonic Wars, Bavarian troops were not inclined to lose good men and officers to the gendarmerie. After Napoleon's fall, Bavaria implemented a new and more liberal constitution in 1818. But times did not become better for the new Bavarian police force. The constitution no longer mentioned a gendarmerie, and concerns were raised about the cost of the new police force. Therefore, already in the 1820s, the Bavarian gendarmerie had to face several budget cuts, resulting in a significant reduction in the number of the corps. And this trend continued throughout the 19th century. In 1830, Bavaria had some 3,100 gendarmes, and this number had been reduced to 2,700 men until 1864. Yes, these are the numbers you had in southern Germany. So, a history of the gendarmerie will fall short if it is barely concentrated on the structure, organization, and the governance of police. Therefore, my research also concentrated on the gendarmerie as an integral part of political and social history in southern Germany during the first half of the 19th century. And let me say some words about this. The new and according to its French blueprint established gendarmerie served the states as an instrument of political power. Its main purpose was to implement not only modern forms of government, but also new political identities. I mentioned this before. But police history in southern Germany was not only determined by governmental top-down efforts, but also by new political processes of bargaining that involved the notables, the bourgeoisie, which had a good portion of political power via the new established parliaments. Their main interest was public safety and order, with a clear focus on the protection of individual property. German liberals had no objection to deploy gendarmes against vagrants throughout the countryside, but they opposed to the military nature of this corps. And they had found allies among local authorities which disliked the new and predominant central state. The political influence of the bourgeoisie in southern Germany set clear limitations to centralized police models. During the first half of the 19th century, the gendarmerie was not the sole or predominant body of police. Moreover, an antagonism emerged between state police, the gendarmerie, and local police with their own police servants. In parliamentary sessions, the notables used their budget rights to prevent the extension of the gendarmerie and thereby protected local police institutions. For them, local police was the essential of local self-government and often opposite to authoritarian central administration. The notables used their influence in local bodies to select, instruct, and govern local police and to keep out the gendarmerie from the municipalities. German gendarmes were distributed all over the territory and obliged to patrol more or less singly. Lower German government bodies could not give them wide-ranging instructions. They had only a limited requisition against the gendarmes. Local officemen were not interested in the expansion of the gendarmerie that could end in a loss of own competences. They also opposed to the militarization of the police management. Thus, the gendarmerie remained equally unpopular among the citizens and the officemen. As a result, during the first half of the 19th century, its personal strength remained so low that it could merely symbolically recall the existence of the state than to ensure its full effectiveness. Its powers were so closely sized that, with the exception of the capitals, the gendarmerie had to keep away from urban areas. In the event of unrest, the military had to guarantee the internal order as it had been decades and centuries before. Thus, the French model of gendarmerie could only be partially implemented in southern Germany. Notables tolerated gendarmerie to be deployed in rural areas, but not in cities and municipalities. This was also the part of the compromise between governments and the liberal parliaments during that time. Governments respected local police, and liberals agreed with comparatively small gendarmerie forces in rural areas. The gendarmeries had to focus on traditional police tasks, especially to control the underclass, beggars, vagrants, and criminals. My last words, even in the second half of the 19th century, gendarmerie corps were not significantly expanded. In times of industrialization and urbanization, gendarmeries lost their meaning as the police corps of the rural areas. This was the time of municipal police that could be used in the new established industrial centers. Patrolling of a single gendarme in rural areas became an anachronism of a bygone era. In 1898, the Munich gendarmerie was transformed into a civil police corps, the Schutzmannschaft, and in 1919, the Bavarian gendarmerie was completely separate from the military. During the Nazi period, a remilitarized gendarmerie was deeply involved in war crimes and the Holocaust. Finally, after World War II, police structures in Germany were decentralized, demilitarized, denazified, and democratized. Again, the municipalities became the predominant police authorities, sharing their competences with the new federal states. And at this point, the history of the German gendarmerie should have come to an end if there have not been strong historical paths, especially in the French occupation zone, including the latter state of Rheinland-Pfalz. And in this federal state, the gendarmerie persisted until the 1970s. Je vous remercie de votre attention. Merci.